Blog Talk Radio.
You know there's more to this world than what you're told. Paranormal phenomenon, supernatural forces, government conspiracies, alien visitors. Step out of the world you see, open up your mind, and get ready for another round of strange at the Supernatural Radio Show with Corrine DeWinter and Nino Del Padre. Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. Listen up, world. Here's Corrine and Nino.
Hello, and thanks for joining us tonight at Supernatural Radio Show. Tonight, as you probably have seen, and why you're here, is because we have the amazing Uranian astrologer Anna Sanchez. Anna has her own show. You can check it out, her information at myastroworld.com. She's got a really amazing history, too. And so we're going to bring Anna right on here because I am not so clear, Anna, on what Uranian astrology is. Can you kind of explain it to us?
Absolutely. I'd love to. Uranian astrology is where a group of scientists and mathematicians got together in my friend Rick is here. You're hearing Patch with his nails across the wooden floor.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm trying to get the video up while we're speaking because people got their, at the very last minute, message. So I'm inputting the video information because I was doing charts. Oh, thank you so much. This is wonderful. Rick's bringing me a brand new video camera. Oh, this is
excellent.
Great. All right. We'll use this the next time because we can't do that right now. Anyway, it's the incorporation of Western astrology. They took these trans-Neptunes. They presupposed, you know, way back in the 1800s, that if there was a planet revolving around the sun and it was here and Mercury was here and Venus was here and Mars was there, they presumed back in the 1800s without a telescope to confirm it that then there would be Pluto, mathematically speaking, then Pluto would have to be beyond, this is why they call them the trans-Neptunes, beyond Neptune, and beyond that there would be Cupido and so on. So we do use the trans-Neptunes, which are bodies that are also revolving in the same solar system around the sun. And we take these, and instead of doing the traditional 360-degree wheel, we use a harmonic. We reduce everything to either a 90-degree or a 45. I prefer the 16th harmonic when I start looking at something. And in the 16th harmonic, what we're doing is we're taking all of the cardinal signs, and we're putting them in the first 30 degrees because it's a 90-degree wheel. We're taking all of the fixed signs. They're in the second 30 degrees, and all of the mutable signs are in the last 30 degrees. And this way, when we apply the pointer, we're looking at anything that is equidistant of any specific point in a chart. And anything that is equidistant of, you'll see the arrows as I start doing charts because I haven't put the video up. Anything that's equidistant of any of those arrows is what we call the on the same axis point, and that tells us the story. We also use almost 5,000 formulas, like 4,918 formulas, I believe. And, you know, they're for pregnancy and marriage and falling in love and fame and winning the lottery and gambling and losing and getting sick and cancer and going to prison. It's good things and bad things. But everybody has a combination of these almost 5,000 midpoints in their chart. What is on the axis point then tells us the story of their chart. So that's what we're doing. And it's mathematically done because we've reduced everything.
I see. Through
mathematics.
Right. As you mentioned last night, Anna, when we were talking, you said it's definitely, it's a science. And that's why, you know, traditional astrology, or I should say Western astrology, doesn't have that preciseness about it.
No, it doesn't. I mean, in Western astrology, I'm not even an astrologer. And anybody who's ever gotten a reading from me is acutely aware of the fact that I'm a master astrologer. So Western astrology was leaving me empty. I was studying it, and it just, there were these just incredible big gaping holes. And I said, but there's more to it. You know, it doesn't show this, and it doesn't show that. And when somebody introduced me to Uranian astrology, first words out of my mouth were, show me how to do that. I went to somebody who's a Uranian astrologer, and I said, I want to know when this individual is going to call. I don't want to get blindsided. I don't want to be ambushed. I want to know when this is going to happen. And they picked a date and a time, and it happened exactly as they said.
Wow.
And after that, I was hooked.
Yeah.
After that.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah.
It,
I know.
It is.
Like, if someone had a question, like, you know, for instance, is my husband going to go to jail or what? I mean, you would be able to see all these details in their charts. And that's
correct.
Why we've asked our listeners to sign up at myastroworld.com. It's free. It's easy to do. And it gives Anna the advantage of having your chart before her, before, you know, you get on the phone with her. She can't really go look up your chart at that time. If she's got your information beforehand, then she can obviously, you know, check it out, and she'll be ready to read you. So if there is anyone listening that has not gone to myastroworld.com and joined in, please do so now. There's instructions on how to join at the website, correct, Anna?
Yeah, well, you know, you join, you input your birth information, there's a CAPTCHA, you confirm your email, and there you go. And then, you know, we accept your membership. Also, I need to explain something. Astrology is a science. So a couple of you signed up, and whoever's signing up right now, I don't know what to tell you. I can't be, you know, adding you right now. I apologize. I'll get to you at the end of the show if there's any time. The problem here is that if you signed up and you put morning and you didn't give me a time, I'm not going to read you tonight anyway. You need to go get your birth certificate, because 1 minute equals 4 months in terms of predictions. And I don't play hunt and peck in my readings. You know, I don't like that. I don't do that. I don't do that. You give me your exact time, I'll tell you exactly what's going on. But if you don't give me your exact time, the moon moves 6 degrees. The ascendant goes all the way around a 360-degree chart in one day. Your meridian moves by the minute. Your meridian determines me, mine, things that are personal.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah, so if you're giving me, you know, morning, well, I'm welcome to scientific astrology. And the rules of science are garbage in, garbage out.
Right, so even a few minutes off of your original birth time is just like, you might as well just be giving a totally different birth date, you know?
Right. Imagine 2 minutes, I'm 8 months off on a prediction.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say to somebody, you know, did your mother die last year? And they say, well, 2 years ago. Well, right there, we know your time is off.
Right, right. Yes, I understand. And you know, Anna is obviously, she's, you know, I would love to have her on again, obviously, and we're going to try to put the word out beforehand so that anyone that hasn't gone to sign up before, they can do that before the show starts. So I apologize if we didn't get the word out in time for some of you, but now, Anna, have you looked, you know, and I was asking you about this a little bit last night. Have you looked at a chart that, you know, I mean, can you tell really what a person, you know, like, have you looked at a chart that was really bad? Like, oh, my God, this person's a monster.
Yes.
And was it in fact that the person was bad?
Yeah, unfortunately, you see a lot of really terrible things in astrology. You can see death, you can see sickness, you can see a lot of things. And let me qualify that, though. The free will factor in terms of spirit and astrology is that planets operate at both a negative and a positive vibration depending on the native.
Okay.
So whatever you see, the most terrific person and, you know, people that the mainstream media has called animals, like John Wayne Gacy and Ted Bundy, these people had the capacity to be extraordinarily good human beings.
Oh.
It was their free will choice to demonstrate the energies of the planets in a negative rather than positive vibration, at a lower as opposed to higher vibration.
Okay. Yeah. That's interesting. And we also talked about Sylvia Brown's chart, which I know we don't have to go into right now, but you do have something on your website about that.
No, I didn't put anything on the website because they say if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. And I know she's some big, I don't know, cult leader of psychics and stuff. Sylvia Brown definitely was a gifted medium. There's no question that she was born with a gift. But if you know the statistics, Sylvia Brown's statistics in terms of predictions were just incredibly low. And I think she sold herself out and didn't care about the practice of spiritual values. And if you're going to be doing mediumistic readings and things like that, you better be invoking God. You know, it's not like Showtime at the Apollo and we're on Montel and mainstream media. You have to remember the source of any gift and anything you do. You know, there are lawyers, and then there are brilliant lawyers. There are artists, and then there are brilliant artists. And let's use artists as a better example, because I worked with a lot of artists in my life, and you have as well, and you're also a writer. And you yourself know from personal experience that there are days when you sit down and you write, and you'll go back and look at your material, and you'll be, oh, my God, this is magnificent. I can't even believe I wrote that, because that's when you were in the zone. And being in the so-called zone for an artist is you tapping into the collective consciousness and genius of the universe. Because all great art, all great things, all great law, all great genius, all great mediums is tapping into the collective conscious and genius that exists for us all in the universe. So I think, you know, where Sylvia was born with a certain gift, as we all are, she gave up her gift.
Right, right. So you think it was, you know, like I told you, someone had said they thought that she just got too greedy and lost her gift. But maybe it was that she just wasn't remembering to honor her gift in those ways. I don't know, but it's interesting because people are so torn on what they think about Sylvia. I mean, really, you either can't stand her and think she was a fraud. Well, she was, actually, she was arrested for grand theft a couple times before she got to be famous. But anyway.
Well, with regard to Sylvia, I picked up a book of hers one day, and I was flipping through the book, and I put the book, I was in Borders, and I put the book down on the thing, and in all honesty, I said, this is a load of crap. By the way, for anybody who's in my website, if you refresh your page and push the arrow, you'll see the video.
Okay, so in order for you guys to see Anna do this live, you must go to myastroworld.com. And
right.
You can see Anna actually doing the readings with the charts and everything.
Yeah, I will show everybody their chart as I'm doing the readings.
Okay.
Okay.
And then I have to say something else. Sylvia Brown. Let me just say something else about Sylvia Brown. Personally, I was very distressed by her accolades, knowing that there were a lot of people filing complaints about her. I have some friends who paid her the $850 for a reading. They were just so nonplussed with the reading, it's not even funny.
Yeah,
it is terrible. And let me tell you something. When they said nothing's coming through, you know, so, well, you must be blocking. Well, if I'm blocking and you're not getting anything, give me my money back and I'll come back when I'm not blocking. That to me is a cop-out. That's like doing karmic astrology. Let's look at your past lives. We have no real way of confirming it, but let's look at your past lives. And I have an issue with this, with these things, because this is my field, and I take it very seriously. So, because I take it seriously, I don't like that people like this are, for all intents and purposes, my colleagues.
Yeah.
Because they make us all look bad. And if somebody isn't, you know, holding the torch, and someone isn't holding themselves to a high standard with respect to this work, they make everybody who's any good at this work look bad. It's why there's lawyer jokes. You know why there's lawyer jokes? Not because there's amazing lawyers that are brilliant and do amazing things in courtrooms, but because there's crappy lawyers. You know why there's doctor jokes? Not because there's amazing, brilliant doctors that save people's lives every day, but because there's crappy doctors. So I get a little bit touchy about this. That's just me.
Right. I seem to be having sound problems, so I'm going to take a little break here and play a quick song, and we'll be back in about 4. Let me see. Sorry, you guys. I don't have my trusty Chris from Curious Times helping me tonight, so I'm a little bit at a loss when I have sound problems. But, okay, we'll be back shortly.
Okay.
Thank you. baby, I've been here before. I've seen this room and I've walked this floor. You know, I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. And love is not a victory march. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah. Time when you let me know what's really going on below, but now you never show that to me, do you? But remember when I moved in you, and the holy dove was moving too, and every breath we drew is hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, not a cry that you hear at night. It's not somebody who's seen the light. It's a cold and it's a broken hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And that was Jeff Buckley doing a Leonard Cohen song called Hallelujah. So beautiful. Unfortunately, Jeff died a few years back, but his album Grace was amazing. His father was Tim Buckley, who was also a folk singer. He died young as well. I think he died from a heroin overdose. Jeff died by going into the Wolf River in Mississippi, and he never came out, unfortunately. So, anyways, on that chipper note, Anna.
why are you going to bum everybody out?
I was trying to fix my voice because I'm echoing.
Are you?
And yes, and I think everyone can hear that I'm echoing. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring on the first caller. And the first caller is Gigi. And her birthday, 7/17/58. She said she did sign up at My Astro World.
Yeah. Do me a favor. Don't give me anybody's information on the air. I think identity thieves thrive on things like that. And people may not want their birth information out there, even though they are calling into a show. Whatever we can keep and maintain is being private. And that's why I do the show in a closed network. That's why I do the video on a closed network. And that's why, you know, my YouTube videos, you can't really see the actual information I've input.
Right.
So you could see the charts, and you would have to, like, really, it's almost too much trouble. So we don't need to, I just need their name. I need their sign-on name. Whatever their name was that they signed up to My Astro World, that's how it's already in my software. And if they sent me a message and they signed up today, then I have their information. But if they didn't give me their time, we're going to have to go to the next caller. If they're not specific, okay, because we're not going to do, and let them, you know, we'll come back, because I'd love to come back anytime you have me. Or ask me or invite me. They'll have time to go get their birth certificate. And if they say, well, it's not on my birth certificate, and, you know, I've had this conversation with you. Whatever town you were born in, or the hospital, whatever it is, you know, Bureau of Vital Statistics, the local town hall, you contact them and you tell them you need a complete birth certificate.
Right.
Because we've been keeping of people's times of birth and times of death for 70 years in the United States.
Right.
So that's wonderful for us, especially for astrologers, because it makes it a little bit easier, life a little bit easier anyway.
Right. Okay, so I'm going to bring Gigi on right now, and I'm still going to try to fix my sound problem in the meantime. But let me get Gigi on. Hey, Gigi.
Hi, this is Marilyn, and I was the first caller, but I'm not. Yeah, I was your first caller tonight, but I'm not Gigi.
Okay, I'm sorry, Marilyn. So Marilyn is 921.
Okay, but Marilyn, what name did you use to sign up?
Marilyn Barry.
Okay. And did you message me today? Did you sign up today?
Yes, I just found out 15 minutes before the show when I found the page. So I was and I have been accepted as a member, and I do have my birth time on there as well.
Okay, I don't have your chart in here. So when did you sign up? The 15 minutes, last 15 minutes before the show.
Yeah, because that's when I found out that I needed to sign on. I did not realize. You know, I just found you guys. I've never seen any of this, so.
Well, let me see, because I don't have your chart input. And you got accepted. Are you on the website?
Yeah, and I see me on there.
Okay, I see your. Mercury retrograde. We don't have your chart. I don't have your chart. And see, this is the problem. Let me explain something to you guys, and I don't want to sound curt, but we are now using Showtime to input chart information. So this is, and signing up 15 minutes, just so you guys know, the last hour before show, or I'm getting ready. And I don't mean I'm getting ready putting my makeup on. I mean I'm praying and I'm meditating. And 15 minutes before a show usually isn't difficult, but we started getting like this swamp of people signing up. So about 5-10 minutes before the show, or about 5 minutes before the show, I called in and I was trying to input chart, and now we're using you know, we're using Showtime, and it's not that easy to input this information. So, Corinne, can you talk so I can focus on this and input
the
information?
Yeah, I'm going to, Marilyn, I'm going to put you on hold for a second, and Anna's going to try to figure out what's going on, and I still hear an echo. Anyways, boy. I don't know. I sound like I'm echoing. Am I echoing you guys? Can you tell me in the chat room if I am? No.
No.
I don't hear an echo from you. And usually I will hear echoes.
Right.
Right.
Okay, no. Yvette says I am echoing.
Echoing.
Shoot. I wish Chris was here. But, Anna, do you want to go on to a chart that you do have?
Well, I'm already inputting her information, so let me just finish this.
Okay.
All right. Disguise in the future, you know, let me know much earlier in the day. And that's,
I know. They were, but Anna, they really didn't know, you know?
Oh, but you sent me the link last night. It was posted last night.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it was posted last night.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's, you know, it involves astrology. We're doing something else. All right. And I don't have to ask you where you live because I got your page up here. So let me do this. Okay. We're ready. I'm just about ready for you. I'm putting where you are now. That's another thing. When you call in, you need to tell me where you're living right now because I will save your birth chart, but not where you're living. So I'm always going to ask you where you're calling from. All right? And where you're calling from specifically refers to wherever it is you're living. Okay?
Yeah, I put that.
Okay. Let's get this on the screen here. Place it. Here we go. So you should be able to see your chart on the screen. All right, Marilyn, let's see what we got going on here. Well, your marriage and partnerships are your big issue right now.
Yeah. True.
Okay, and it's about ending the transformations and leaving old things behind, anything that isn't serving you. Also, did you have a death recently?
My neighbor last night.
Yeah. You've got, well, you know, I don't like to be the bearer of bad tidings, but expect a couple more.
Okay.
Anyway,
okay.
With respect to your partnerships, you know, partnerships have a powerful impact on you right now. They affect you at every level. And it's not just you. It's everybody you're associated with is affected by your marriage, your partnership. And it's any relationships, a close friendship, it's if you're in business, it's somebody you work with, like if you were a police officer and you ride with a partner. All of those things are at issue for you right now. And they're having a powerful effect on you, and you're worried about the endings of some of these. And what I don't understand, you know, when I look at your chart, is why you're concerned. Because from looking at your chart, you've had to, like, start all over again, and you've had new beginnings in your life on multiple occasions, especially, you know, family members, blood relatives. This has sort of been a pattern in your life. But what I don't understand about your chart is right now you're really concerned about letting go of a partnership. And it looks like it may even be an interpersonal relationship, an intimate relationship. Does this make sense to you?
I have not had a relationship or a boyfriend of any kind for about 7 or 8 years.
What
I don't have any intimate partnership.
Okay.
you guys don't get, understand the meaning of intimate. Intimate is somebody you work closely with, somebody that you share a lot with. So you don't have a close friend, you don't have a close business, coworker, somebody who works in a partnership kind of experience. You have nothing like that going on in your life.
I just started a brand new job 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm. And are you, do you work closely with anyone?
Not yet.
Do you have a fear? Well, we need to place this. Are you sure this is your exact time?
It is from my birth chart.
Oh, hold on a minute. Give me a second. I think I've got your wrong time in here. And this is what happens when we do. Yes, I do. Okay. I got you for the morning.
No.
Yes, okay. But I still think that there's partnerships. There's a partnership. I don't get this. I've been doing this for a long time. And I'm going to tell you something else. Pay attention to what I'm saying. Not what you want to hear about, what I'm saying. Okay? Because I've been doing this for a long time. So if you're not working with anybody, you're not doing anything in your life that has anything to do with anybody else, you're flying solo on every level of your life. Because that's what you're telling me. Whether you're aware of it or not, that's exactly what you're telling me.
I started a new job 2 months ago, so I'm not close or intimate with anyone yet because I'm new and I haven't had the opportunity to really connect deeply with anyone. The only person that I'm deeply connected with was a guy that I dated 30 years ago, but I haven't seen him. We talk maybe 4 or 5 times a year by phone, and there is a heart connection there, but he's married. His wife lives in another country. I haven't seen him for 30 or 35 years. We don't work together.
You're thinking strictly love. What about, did you not have a job prior to 4 months ago?
No, I was looking for work prior to 2 months ago.
And you did nothing with anybody? Like, basically, you're telling me you have no friends.
No, I have friends, but I was working by myself as a business consultant until 2 months ago.
Okay. And you never had any dealings with anybody while you were a business consultant that was close and interpersonal and intimate. And intimate, let me explain something about intimacy. Intimacy is, if you're looking into somebody's private life, if you're looking into their finances, if you're looking into how they decorate their home, if you're looking into anything like that, you're dealing with somebody's intimate life. It's an intimate experience. If you're talking to people about their problems, that's an intimate experience. Because you don't run up to a complete stranger on the street and say, you know, my mother died when I was 7, and I'm estranged from my children. You do that with intimate friends and coworkers and colleagues. And this is partnerships. And this man, you know, it's possible that this has to do with this man if you have a love connection. And it's possible that what we're seeing right here, because here's the sun, here's the moon, here's your solar arc sun, here's, you know, the death of a relationship or the bottleneck being stuck, it's possible. And it's possible that you're not involved in a relationship because you're unwilling to let go of him, which brings us back to what I said at the very beginning of this reading. Like, I don't want to let go of this. How can you, if you're in love with somebody that you only speak with and that's where your love energy is going, do you really expect that you're opening up your life to allow somebody else in? Don't you think that this sort of speaks to, I'm not letting it go?
I agree.
Okay, so what I said at the very beginning of this applied. And your answer was, I haven't been intimate with anybody in 8 years. I don't have a love. But then you were like, there's a love connection with this guy. You got to get over that. Because if you don't, you're afraid to let go. If you're afraid.
Okay.
Okay. If you're afraid of a roller coaster, That's one thing. You don't. You just don't go on the roller coaster, right?
Right.
Right.
Okay, that's simple. But when you're afraid to let go of a closer interpersonal relationship, whether it's a business partnership or a work, you know, people that are business partners will be like, well, there's too much money. We can't separate this business partnership. That happens as well. But what's happening for you right now is this, it's partnerships. And this is perhaps the time to recognize that you can't make room in your life and your heart for somebody else if someone, okay, has that space. They're occupying space in your heart and in your life that's making it impossible for somebody else to come in and occupy that space. And your fear of letting your fear of letting go of that isn't going to help you. Your fear of letting go of that is going to keep you blocked in where you are.
Okay.
Okay.
And you need a change. In your head, here's your Pluto right over here in direction. Okay? Maybe not right now, but let's see. 1, 2, 3. And this in direction gets here in about 5 years, 6 years. There's going to be an extraordinary change in your life. But how long do you want to wait? Let me look at you for a second. Let me just share something with you. I was in love with one man in my lifetime. One. I gave myself completely and fully, and he occupied that space in my heart and in my life for more than 20 years. There could never be anybody else. If you are desirous of having someone that's there for you, that has your back, that's a partner, that's a friend, that's your companion, the only way that's going to happen for you is if you're willing to let go of something that no longer serves you and that probably hasn't served you well in years. You're talking about being in love with a guy who's got a wife in another country and you're in love with him. And I get that the heart wants what the heart wants, but unless you're willing to just push it away, this is not going to work out for you. You're not going to get the thing that you most need. And I'm looking at your chart, and you want love. You want love. But you have conversations about not having it. You want it. And I can tell you right now, whoever you've been in love with or intimate with right here, you've had a powerful physical attraction to them. So maybe you're using guidelines that don't really serve you. Does that make sense to you?
Well, this is true. So how do I break that connection with him if it's been there for 30 years? Whether I talk to him or not, how do I break that heart connection?
That's a choice you make. Sit down and write a list of everything the perfect partner for you has. For starters, they would physically be there with you. Would they be educated? Would they be a world traveler? Do they like animals? Do they like children? You know, are you hoping for somebody who has kids? Do they have children? And maybe, you know, the mother has passed away. Are they multilingual? Do they like music? Do they like the arts? What do they like to do as hobbies? Make the list of the things you're looking for. And when you make that list of the things you're looking for, look at that list every day, and you ask yourself every single day, this man that I've given up my heart and I've blocked everybody out of my life for this man, does he possess these things? And eventually, you're going to realize you're in love with a fantasy, not a truth, not a person, not a reality. You don't live your life in a storybook. You live your life in the real world. You wake up in the morning and you go to bed at night and you're doing it by yourself. because you have this image, this romantic, nebulous image that isn't tangible. And if you were to sit down and write out everything that, that you know, the perfect mate for you has, I bet you you're going to realize this guy is not the perfect mate. And the minute you identify what the perfect mate is, that's when you're making yourself ready to bring them into your life.
I've done that many times in the past.
Well, I don't think you've done it efficiently because it works. And you're telling, so you're telling me this guy is the perfect guy. You've made your list. Let me hear your list.
Smart.
Smart.
Caring. Intelligent. Communicative. Lots of talents. Lots of interests. Interested
all right,
in me.
Failed. He already failed the test.
He what?
He already failed the test. You talked to him four times a year. Go on.
So let me ask you, what if he were divorced? Would he still be the wrong guy?
Isn't one of your criteria that he be there?
Yeah. We've talked in the past about geography, but, I mean, if he were here and if he were divorced, is he still the wrong guy?
I can't answer that unless I have his chart.
Oh, okay.
Okay, because you're asking me a question about somebody else. And what would happen is his, for let me just give you an example of how we match people up. Here's your sun, moon, midpoint. Okay?
Okay.
His sun, moon, midpoint. And look at this. This is phenomenal. It goes right to your Pluto, which means it's huge transformations, Mars, Saturn. Your marriage is dead. Conversations. Where are you going? You're in this, like, constantly talking about a partnership that doesn't exist. Mars, Saturn is death. Mars, Saturn is the end of something. We see Mars, Saturn, it's the end of a job. It's the end of a relationship. So, you know, you're in a relationship that's over, and it's been over since you thought it began. And your conversations, because there's your Mercury, all right, is what's misleading you and sending you astray. And in the same midpoint axis, we got your Neptune Cupido. I'll bet you everybody in your family and your friends have told you, you know what, Marilyn, you're deluding yourself. And I don't want that to sound harsh. Okay, I really don't want it to sound harsh because I know that this is a struggle and a painful thing. But this is you doing this to you. This is not somebody doing that to you. His sun, moon, midpoint would line up here if he's the right guy for you. His moon, Venus midpoint would be the indicator of love. So his moon, Venus midpoint would line up in some way on this axis point for this arrow, or this arrow. Your sun Mars would line up to his moon Mars, him being the husband or the man, you being the wife, moon Mars. Do you get it?
Yep.
So do you understand that you're the one doing this?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Are you going to take responsibility for your actions and make a change? Because the list that you said you made, he's smart, he's this, he's that, he's communicative. Well, he fails because if you're only talking to somebody four times a year, then he already fails the communicative test. That he's
okay.
Interested in
okay.
Him. Why does he have a wife? So he failed that too. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we've been having a failure to communicate from the beginning of this reading.
Is anything working out for me at this time? Obviously, love isn't at the moment, up until now.
Well, you could have love in the next year and a half. This is going to be a process. And possibly get married in like 6 years. So, but you got to make yourself ready. And making yourself ready is getting rid of dead weight in your life. Anything that's taken up space in your heart and in your soul that isn't giving you what's good for you and what you really want is something you have to have the wherewithal and the inner strength to say, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to put my love, my energy, my time. I'm going to say my prayers every single day. And I'm going to say, God, bring me my rightful mate. Don't ask God to bring you John Smith. Ask God to bring you your rightful mate.
Okay.
Because when you're asking for a particular individual, you know, they say that God has three answers. All of your prayers are answered. No, not now, or I have something better for you.
Yep.
Yep.
So I think after 30 years, it's pretty clear that God's answer has been repeatedly, no, and I have something better for you.
Got it.
Okay, as for things working out, be careful when you start working with these people and your partnership, because, you know, believe it or not, you're the one, not other people, you're the one who keeps people at arm's length in partnership. So that's going to extend to any other partnership. Anybody you work with, keep yourself in check and do that personal and moral inventory and ask yourself, am I really being, you know, the way I should be? Am I allowing this person in my life in a way that's good? Okay?
Okay.
I hope that this has been helpful.
Yes. Thank you.
Marilyn, I appreciate your patience with the echoing and all that. And I hope you won't hold it against me in the future.
No, not at all. I appreciate all this.
I don't hear an echo. Do you still hear an echo?
Not right at the moment. I'm not, but it's just terrible, like on my end, you know, at times, but not right now. It seems to be okay right now. But, okay, so Marilyn does have good things coming up. It's just that she must allow them to, you know, she must welcome them in her heart and see things.
She's afraid to let go of a partnership that isn't serving her, which is exactly what I said at the very beginning of the reading. She's the one who's holding on. And when we asked her, you know, what does this perfect mate have? This is not her perfect mate. You have to be willing to let go of what doesn't serve you in order to welcome or bring in love or a relationship or a new job. You know, if you're afraid of you know, being unemployed and going after that perfect job somewhere so you don't quit this crappy job you have, then don't expect to get the other job. It works with jobs. It works with, if you're afraid to go buy a new car because you don't want to give up, you know, some car that you love. Same thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think I like my job.
I'm saying you don't. I'm giving it as an example. This is a spiritual rule. Whenever we're afraid to let go of something that doesn't serve us, we're not making room for the thing that we supposedly claim we want.
Right.
Whenever we're not willing to allow ourselves to be part of something, okay, and let people in, that's us. That's not them. That's us.
Right.
Do you follow?
Right.
And,
yes.
You know, believe it or not, you don't even realize it. You probably put off the vibes. Everywhere you go, I'm taken. When am I going to fall in love? I'm in love with this guy. The universe doesn't get that. The universe is like, all right, you're in love with that guy, be in love with that guy. See, and how's that working out for you?
Not well.
No.
Marilyn, I'm just like you. I fall in love with a guy and, like, I cannot freaking get over him, you know?
And, you know, timing is everything, too. Timing is everything, too. You've got to be willing. You've got to say, you know what? It's time for me to find my rightful mate. It's time for me to tell this guy, hit the bricks. It's time for me to, like, write down that list of everything I want in a partner and look at that list every day and remind myself every single day. He doesn't make the cut. He's not this guy on this list. You're going to have this list, and he's not that guy. Do you understand?
Right. Right.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So it's not, the only thing you're doing is you're, honey, you're doing the same thing almost every woman on the planet has done. you're loving the wrong man. And remember that song, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right? Shoot
yep.
her. Yep. Somebody shoot her. I like Barbara Mandrell. Don't get me wrong. I like Barbara Mandrell. But if loving you is wrong, I got to go.
True.
All right. Stay
Thank
in touch
you.
With us and
Thank
let us know how everything's going. And there's love for you. Maybe this guy leaves his wife or whatever. Get his information. Let's look. Maybe, you know, maybe you pined away for the, maybe he is the right guy. But maybe he's
Oh, you're killing me.
But we don't know. Sometimes, you know what? You got to be willing to go, it's done. The thing is that in astrology, how do we know if somebody's the right guy? We don't know from looking at your chart. We know from looking at your chart with his chart together and see if your
right.
marriage midpoints line up, if your love midpoints line up. We you know, if you're going to have great sex, if your sex ties line up, if the attraction is there. Like I said, you have Venus Uranus in your chart, in this equation. So you got hit by a ton of bricks because it's like you fell in love. What was the guy's name with the flowing hair that they were using on the cover of, like, the Bugs Head of Bradford?
Fabio.
Okay, Fabio. Like, you were somewhere 30 years ago, and you saw some guy, and it was like, you're Fabio. You were instantly attracted, and now you can't let go of it. Okay?
Yep. Okay.
Yeah, this echo is
man. Yeah, get his information and call me back for a private reading, and we'll do that off the air. And let's take a look.
Okay.
Let's see who he really is. Let's see if he is going to leave his wife. Let's see if the geographic undesirability is a choice or something he's going to make a change in. But I think you're going to get rid of him.
Okay.
I think there's somebody new coming in. But just if you want to know for sure, like, do I have any chance or any hope, clearly I'll tell you. It's not like But, you know, what good would it be if I sit there and say, oh, yeah, he's the right guy. Right, great. Let her be in love with this guy for another 5 years. That's what she wants. No. Yeah, don't call. Hey, if you're looking to have me tell you what you want to hear, don't call tonight. You should hang up.
Well, Anna, a bunch of people have already hung up, so.
Oh, well. Too bad for them. Because, point in fact, it was a very good reading, wasn't it, Marilyn?
It was awesome.
It was accurate. We had a little trouble understanding each other, but it was accurate. All right.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Marilyn.
And good luck.
Thank you both. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you for calling in and thank you for joining.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm echoing, but I just wish I wasn't, but I'm going to put myself on hold. But next we have Jill.
Hey, Corrine. Corrine.
Yes.
It's not you echoing.
Who is it?
So hang on.
Hang on, here.
Just here, I'm going to mute. Okay. Yeah, so it's because Anna's on speaker.
Okay.
So when Anna speaks, it won't echo because she's the one speaking. When anyone else speaks, it will echo. And so that's just, now it sounds good. It's gone.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
So Anna, can you wear a headset?
Well, if I wear a headset, I don't have a headset. Second of all, the only thing that's on, because I'm not, you know, I'm called into the thing, but I don't have the mic echoing here. Like,
No, it's sorted out now. But I mean, when I muted Corrine, that's the test I use on the switchboard. So yeah. Anyhow, it's gone now. So I'll just shut up and let you guys carry on.
Well, it's good to hear you, Chris.
Yeah. I was calling Bree, so I had to. Yeah, I didn't know you were on. I didn't know you were having a show.
My father had an emergency. I had to be over there, and I got back here just in time to start the show. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I didn't, you know.
No,
but
I just didn't even know. So. Anyhow,
is everything okay with Bree?
Well, everything is the same as it was, you know what I mean? So really, no, but it hasn't gotten worse, you know?
Yeah,
and,
right. Jeez.
So, anyway.
All right.
So this is it. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. So we're gonna bring on Jill, and Jill is 1217.
I got it. Don't give me their information. I just need their name. That they're with. Yeah. Okay.
Hi, Jill.
I got it.
Hi, Jill.
Yeah, Jill signed up early. Hello, Jill.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. And you're Jill Susan, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Where do you live now?
I live in North Chicago, which is not Chicago.
Okay, do you live in Illinois?
I'm 50 miles north of the city of Chicago.
Okay, well, is there another town?
Waukegan. The same place I was born is what you would go to, Waukegan.
Okay. Got it. Here we go. All right, let me put your chart up here. So you can see it, if you're interested in seeing it. What's with the death, everybody? Did you have, like, somebody die recently?
Not recently.
Okay, within the past 12 months. And this doesn't have to be somebody close. Like, remember the last caller? It was her neighbor.
Right. Gosh. I've seen so many people die in my life. My daughter is totally freaked out. So I would have to think about it.
I would say recently, you know, when I say recently, I'm talking within the past 12 months. And the reason I'm asking you about that is because around the same time something like that happened. You've been stuck.
Yeah.
Now, yeah, you've been real stuck. But you're getting unstuck,
yes.
So that's the good news, all right? And around the same time of the last time somebody passed in your life, like a little light went off in your head. And the little light said to you, you know, these are things that are happening, and they're not so much happening to me. They're happening for me. So you're really, there's been like this renewed search into the deeper meaning of life, the reasons why things are happening. And you are actively making changes. So you're talking to different people. You're having different types of conversations. You're looking for answers. I would say that's...
Could it be the death of my sister didn't die, but there's been a death in our relationship, I feel.
Well, it could be that, but there was probably a death around you. You're right, you do have a lot of death around you, but I wanted to identify the most recent death because the most recent death, believe it or not, the most recent death you had, you've been blocked for a long time.
Yes.
The most recent death you had is the thing that began to sort of unblock you. That was the thing when you started thinking about, You know, there's deeper meanings and deeper reasons for things. And these things are not necessarily, like I said, happening to me. They're happening for me. They're happening as an experience. And this is, you know, I would say in the past year, you've probably maybe been researching online or gotten books or looking into sort of the spiritual cause and effect for why your life is the way you are. You probably not, I'm sure your sister is not the only person with this chart that you stopped talking to in the past year.
True.
You.
There is a friend that I was friends with for 38 years. I quit talking to her like a year ago. So that is also another death.
Okay, talk to Marilyn. She needs some help learning how to kick people to the curb. Get a hold of her.
Okay.
You learned how to do it. You were blocked, and you learned how to do it. And, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to actively take stock in your life and ask yourself whether or not a relationship is serving you, whether it's
right.
a friendship or
right.
a neighbor or whatever, your sibling relationship. And if it's not serving you, it's a good point to say, you know what, it's time. Or like
yes.
the Cuban people
yes.
say, hasta aquí, se acabó el juego. You know, you don't need, you realize that you don't need people that aren't going to inspire and uplift you. You realize that.
Exactly,
so
and there's no growth.
No, there's no growth. But you're looking into, like, spiritual things, and you probably, I'm sure that I'm not the first reading you've gotten recently. I'm sure you, because you're seeking.
Right,
you're
exactly.
Right, exactly.
Okay, and this is a good thing. And, you know, expect a lot of surprises around you. In the upcoming 12 months, good surprises. Because you're finally
okay.
getting
okay.
out, you're finally getting out of that space where you were locked and bottlenecked. And you were locked and bottlenecked in every area of your life. And I'm going to tell you something
yes.
about yourself.
Yes.
Yeah, relationships are very, very important to you because you use them to communicate, to learn, to debate.
Yes. Yeah.
And you like to have a full life, and you love to have fun.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
again, you don't want anybody bringing you down. So part of your
no.
house
no.
in terms of your relationships is like, oh, my God, these people are just such a drag. I am so sick and tired of being brought down. And this has been you moving in to your own changes. So
yes.
that's
yes.
wonderful. That's wonderful. You know, keep reading, keep seeking, and always ask yourself this question. Does this resonate as being true? Because people know truth when they hear it. They may not like it, but they know it. So you ask yourself if these new relationships, because you don't want to be alone. It's not like you want to lock yourself into your home and be a hermit. You're a social person. You like to go out. You like to have fun. You like to have people over. You enjoy companionship and friendship. You don't, you're not somebody who wants to be alone and isolated. You're somebody who really wants to actively be out there and have really healthy relationships and friendships.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So try to make that happen. Is there anything in particular that you wanted me to look at? Because you don't have a big problem, so we can go right into what you need me to look at.
Boy, do you see anything coming up, like, career-wise? I'm kind of lost on what to do there.
Not immediately. But
okay.
let me take a look at what you should be doing. I can see right here there's a little bit of an issue. Like, it's not imminent and not terrible, okay, because we're in a Mercury retrograde. So you don't need to be starting a new job. But let's take a look at your Meridian Mars midpoint. And we'll see what the story is.
How long is Mercury in retrograde?
It's usually in retrograde for about 3 weeks. But two to 3 weeks before the retrograde and 2 to 3 weeks after the retrograde, it's in its shadow. And sometimes its shadow is way worse than the retrograde.
Okay.
This is really kind of interesting. Have you ever thought about, like, working as a volunteer in hospice or caring for people in palliative care?
You know, it's so funny. I took care of my father while he was dying I went through the whole thing with him, and you know, I saw that I'm a natural at it, and I am gifted in that area. It like felt I did everything right. I belong there.
Well, then that answers the mysterious $64,000 question as to what kind of work you should be looking for.
Right. See, I loved it. Actually, I'm not. Death doesn't scare me.
Well, God bless you, because not everybody wants to work in that.
Right.
And
right.
That's what you should be doing. You know, there's a million different careers out there. Do you think it's odd that I would just pick that one?
Well, it's interesting because it just really, you know, not that I wanted my dad to die and suffer, but I was a natural at handling the whole thing.
What did I say at the beginning of this reading, that these things are not happening to you? They're happening what?
For me.
You
remember? For me.
Wouldn't you say that?
Yes.
Yeah. That was one of those things that was happening for you, not to you.
Right.
Because it's
right.
Something that opened up your eyes to, you know what, this feels okay. And I have to tell you something, on a spiritual level, there is no noble. I don't believe that there's a more noble act that people can do than to help midwife people, you know, into their transition as they leave this mortal coil.
Well, and that's exactly what I did, because I was with him during his transition. That's what he wanted.
Well, there you go. So I would say career-wise. Now, immediately you will not be getting a job. It's not something that's going to happen right now. There's a little bit of a holdup, okay? But I would say that if you get your research together, find out what it would take for you to get a CNA license.
Okay.
And
you could
go and, you know, you could go to clients' homes and help people.
Okay.
Or go to a facility, an adult congregate living facility or a hospice center. You could start out volunteering and it may turn into a job, but go look and see what it would take for you to get your CNA license.
Okay.
Because your CNA license is going to help you to, you know, with some of the basic things, and it gives you just a basic sort of, it's a relatively easy license to get. It's going to give you a basic license where people's insurance will cover the cost.
Okay. Okay.
Of the CNA license. Okay?
Yes.
Yes.
I hope that's been helpful.
Yes, it has.
Yes,
thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, thank you, Jill. Yeah.
So,
thank you.
Hey, good luck to you, and thanks.
And
I'm sure your dad says thank you for helping him in his last moments.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. It really was.
I'm sure.
It was like I had done it all, you know, I've done it all my life. It was just amazing. I can't even explain it. So I do have a gift there.
Right, right. Well, hopefully you will share it with other people one day, you know?
Yes. Thank you.
Hey, thanks. Have a good night, Jill.
Okay, you too.
Thanks. Okay, so Anne, I think we next have Gigi, who I thought we had at first, but we now we didn't. So I'm going to bring Gigi on.
One of my friends used to call this Mercury F-U-grade.
Yeah, yeah. Gigi.
Yes, I'm here waiting patiently.
Hi.
How are you?
You are waiting patiently, and I appreciate it.
Okay, yes, no worries.
Anna, do you have her information?
I do. Where do you live now, though?
I live in San Diego, same place where it says in California.
Okay, I said it earlier if you were listening. I said I have your birth chart, but I don't store where you're living, so I would ask you where you're living now.
Yeah. Okay, San Diego, California.
Yeah, pay attention. I got it. It's okay. All right. I used to live there.
Oh.
Many years
And where
ago.
Do you live now?
Miami, the other coast.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
My family lived in California for 5 years. But then when my mother was terminal, we came back. Okay. Did you just... I'm looking at your chart. God, I hate when this happens. All right, Gigi, I want you to really pay attention to whatever I say to you. Don't interpret them. Don't look into what I'm saying. Don't just take it at face value and try to work with me so we don't spend all that time trying to get to the bottom to find out that what I said at the beginning made sense. Okay?
Okay.
You know that you have an issue with deception. People deceive you, and then you find out about it. And like you don't want to believe it, that there's sort of a pattern that it does happen. And mm-hmm. typically you're surprised when you find that somebody isn't who they appear to be, or they're not as forthcoming or as giving as you thought they were. That you have sort of a you think and believe the best of people, but there have been times in your life where you've been met with the stark, harsh, cold reality that they are not who you thought. Does that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. And it seems to me like this happened recently, and you just severed a tie, and you feel that it was a good thing for you to do.
In a work situation, perhaps?
It happened in your life. This is your chart.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
Okay. And you've also had, you've also had death around you this past year. And I think that it didn't have to be a close death. But, you know, death does a funny thing to us. Death makes us all look at our lives for a minute. It makes us slow down and take a look and say, you know, is this what I want? Like, remember, I mean, for those of you who want to be buried, they always put the year of your birth and the year of your death on a tombstone. But the thing that's infinitely more important than the year of your birth and the year of your death is the dash in between the two. What are you doing with your dash? And it's important to you. That's an actual thing that you've thought about. It's like, what am I going to do? I want my time on earth to have meaning and depth.
You bet.
And I want profoundly spiritual, enlightening relationships, and I don't like when I'm misled or misdirected. So you had to clean house in terms of, like, some of those things.
Okay.
Do you follow? Are you with me?
I do.
Okay. The cleaning house that you did was incredibly good, and it's provided a transformation in and around you. Like, you could almost feel the energy shift in your life. So you need to continue to work on that vein.
Mm-hmm.
But try to do a personal and moral inventory and run down the list of people, you know, that you're around, and ask yourself if these people serve you, if they're at your energy. You know, if you call up somebody and you may love them with all your heart and they're just, you know, Debbie Downer every day, it's one thing if they've just lost their father or just had a breakup or just had a terrible tragedy. You expect that. You should be there. You should love them and support them and do whatever you can for them. But you know what I'm talking about. That Debbie Downer kind of personality, that they're always whining, that they're not grateful for what they have, they're too busy focused on what they don't have. You've had a plethora of people like that in your life. Would you say that's
correct?
True?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
And it's been good for you to terminate those relationships. And I know that you know that. Yeah, I know that you know that. Say again?
I was going to say one of them is my mother, and that it's a challenge.
I have to tell you, I know exactly what you're talking about. I've had family issues as well. Like, I just to share an example. My brother, I was trying to reach my brother for months, and I couldn't get in touch with my brother, and it was so unlike me and my brother. I mean, we would talk to each other like six times a day, and then all of a sudden, I don't get a phone call back. Nobody calls me, not my sister-in-law, not my niece, not my nephew. Nobody's answering the phone. And finally, I speak to my aunt, and my aunt says to me, well, your brother's been very sick. So I go and I look at my brother's chart, and she tells me, she says, oh, he's got these back problems and kidney disease. I go and I look at his chart, and it's clear that he's got cancer. So I want to get him to an oncologist right away. So I fly up, and this is all something that I'm being told at Thanksgiving. So I make arrangements to fly up for Christmas. I finally get in touch with my sister-in-law, and I say to my sister-in-law, don't tell him I'm coming, because if you tell him I'm coming, he's sick, he's cranky, I know who he is, he's my brother. He's an asshole when he's sick. Okay? So I'm going to come up, and I'm going to see him. And don't tell him, and we're going to get him to an oncologist. And an oncologist is going to tell him, dude, you don't have kidney disease, you've got cancer. Anyway, the day that my aunt wanted to go shopping and basically spend the whole day with me going shopping, I said to my aunt, I have to be back at the house at 1. I've got to go with Jerry and Lenora over to Sloan Kettering and meet with his doctors. And she says, what do you have to go with him and his doctors for? And I said, because this is not good news. And she says, are you telling me that if your brother dies, God forbid, that you're going to mourn your brother more than his own goddamn wife? I said, yeah, I believe I will. I believe that after a certain amount of time, she'll find another partner and mate, and I won't ever be able to replace my brother. Absolutely. And I said, she says, well, why is it so important for you to go? I said, because they're going to tell him he's got cancer. What are you, a fucking doctor? No, but I'm a really good astrologer. You know, this is an aunt that I predicted the marriages of both of her sons and I don't know how many things, and all of a sudden we're having an argument. And that was just one thing. But as time went by, I started thinking, you know what? They've never called me for my birthday. I've called them for, I don't know, every birthday for 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Why am I putting all this energy, family or not? Why am I putting all this energy into it? And the funniest thing is my uncle owns a big trucking company. She is my uncle's wife, my father's brother's wife. So whenever I would be home and there was a big, like, event for the trucking company, my aunt would always introduce me as, this is Antonio's niece. I would say, why do you always do that? And she says, because you're his blood. You know, blood or not, when people care about you, they treat you right. And if your mother isn't treating you right, blood or not, if you're having to argue for the things that are important to you with your just like that little experience with my aunt, this is my brother. Somebody, we've been through war together. We survived a terrible thing. And my aunt is sitting there having an argument with me instead of being supportive. If you're having those experiences, don't beat yourself up and second guess whether or not this is somebody that you've got to cut out of your life. And I get that it may be a challenge and you may have other relatives call and just say, well, listen, you know, she wants to be in my life. She has to be of a certain ilk that she simply doesn't exhibit. And don't feel bad about it. You don't have to make excuses for somebody else's bad behavior. And you don't have to ask for permission to stop talking to somebody who doesn't inspire you and make you feel okay. Do you believe that and know that in your heart?
Yes.
Yes. Is there anything else you'd like me to look at before we let you go?
I would say the career and life purpose.
Funny, we don't have to move the dial too much. Hmm. Did you ever want to be like a soldier or a cop?
Or no.
Because that's really...
I thought I might have wanted to be a lawyer way back when. It was just like a fleeting moment, though, for me.
Well, the funny thing is that you're a natural leader, and you have a very kind of soldier, you know, there's a right way, wrong way mentality. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So working in law and in a leadership position, and that's why I asked you if you'd ever thought about being a cop.
No.
Because what a cop can do is enforce the law. You see somebody hurting somebody, you can immediately arrest them. Now, don't you lie to me. That makes your thing zing a little bit, doesn't it?
That makes me what?
That makes your thing zing a little bit, doesn't it?
No.
That the idea of being able to stop something from happening and physically remove someone that's bringing someone harm, that does nothing for you?
No, injustice is where I get really my thing zinged.
You're what?
And no, in other words, you said thing zing, so I'm saying injustice does that for me when I see
right. Injustice. Well, and you, that's what I'm saying.
But not rules. I'm not saying rules. I mean, you know, it's like there are certain rules that I feel provide safety for people, but I'm not a cop. I'm not that kind of a...
Hold on a second.
Rule lover.
Hold on a second. I have quite a few friends in law enforcement, and one of my friends in law enforcement explained it great to me, like 30-something years ago. He says, I became a cop because I wanted to help protect victims. I have absolutely no interest in victimless crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can relate to that.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about. And like at Christmas, he would always hate Christmas because there's a preponderance of domestic violence stuff at Christmas time. Like I'm talking to him one day, he comes by and he says, why don't you buy me dinner tonight? I was running a hotel and we had a restaurant in the hotel. He says, why don't you buy me dinner tonight? I'm having a tough day. And he sat down, he's a really happy-go-lucky guy, and he just really didn't look good. And he says, you know, I had to go into some house. I had to arrest the father. He threw the Christmas tree out the door with all the gifts. I had to drag the Christmas tree back inside, 3 screaming kids. And he says, and I had to, like, hold myself back because taking this guy to jail, I wanted to stop on the side of the road and beat the hell out of him and ask him what the hell was he thinking. So
okay.
when we talk about injustice and when we talk about being able to stop things, you know what? Lawyers stop things after it happens. Cops can often stop things before it happens.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you again, where do you want to be? Before it happens or after it happens?
I would say before it happens, but more about empowerment. You know,
there you go.
Wanting to empower people to know, you know, how to keep themselves clear of those kinds of situations so that they don't have to claim that they're the victim.
Well, people are a victim one time. If somebody hurts you and beats you up one time, you're the victim of domestic violence. If you go home and they beat you up again, you're now a volunteer. And when you talk about empowerment, the people make choices for themselves. You can't stop someone from being a victim, and I understand what you're saying about empowerment, but empowerment comes, it's a different thing that has to happen. That's about self-respect.
Mm-hmm.
That's about bringing people to a higher standard. That's about self-esteem.
Right.
That's about value. So when you talk about empowerment, I mean, you know, now we got to go all the way back to when kids are really young and you see the kids that are shy or maybe don't have clean clothes or clearly you're being neglected at home, those are the kids. You know, as people get older, it's a different ball game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But again, you know, that whole police thing you ask about jobs, something that gives you the authority to stop things, bad things from happening before they happen, which is policing. And you could possibly work with them in some sort of community capacity. Because police departments all over the country have divisions where people come in and they help and try and help people get safe. And I have to tell you, this is like your thing. You want to keep bad things from happening before they happen. You like the idea of being able to stop someone from bringing harm to other people.
Okay. Well, I happen to be unemployed right now. Do you see an opportunity coming my way pretty soon? Or what time frame is it?
I have to tell you, I think you need either a course in something. Like what's missing, whatever you're going to do next, look, here's Mars, Saturn, and Neptune. I don't want to be the bearer of bad tidings, but any job you have, it's not going to be the job you really want for at least another year, year and a half. And we got a double pattern of these issues with respect to your job. See how they're both equidistant, this little grouping over here, it's sort of right here and over here, it's the same thing. That's a double pattern. So, you know, it's your action. Your actions are what's stopping you from being able to work. You need something more than what you have to go and do the job that you're really more suited for. So why don't you take self-defense class or victim advocate course. Does that make sense to you?
I'm really not resonating with that, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay. You may not be resonating with it, but what is it that you were doing before you became unemployed?
Well, actually, I was in sales and marketing for a personal development company, life coach training, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. And did you want to go back to work in that field?
I wouldn't mind going back to work in that field.
Sales and marketing.
Yeah, although I've really been wanting to go more in the creative direction. In other words, where I'm working at and using both sides of, you know, the left and right brain, creative and, you know, the technical.
Okay, because selling things is one thing. Empowering people is something completely different. And
yes.
sales and marketing for a group that empowers people, okay, I understand, that's kind of cool, but I think you want to actively help people. I don't think you want to sell them books and tapes and CDs and conferences. Okay. So now we're gonna go back to the very thing that you said, that doesn't resonate with me. I'd like you to let this stew in your brain for a couple of days. And go back and listen to this reading.
Okay.
And think about this for a couple of days. Because victim advocacy, community help, maybe helping, you know, kids in crisis. This is your speed. This is your speed. And that's policing, honey. Take my word for it. I've done it. You are now policing people.
That just sounds funny to me.
You're finding out that some kid's mother is selling her food stamps instead of putting food in the refrigerator. You're finding out that somebody's got a drug habit, that their kids are not clean, that they're not going to school, that their clothes aren't clean. You are policing people.
Right. Okay.
stew on this for a couple of days and then get back to me and send me a message here and let me know. I've been doing this for a long time. And, you know, people do meet with resistance sometimes, but then they'll think about it and they'll, or a couple of years will go by and they'll go, wow, you know, I should have thought about this. But like I said, hear what I was saying to you. Don't perceive it in any way. Take it at its face value.
Mm-hmm.
Because you want to be able to stop bad things from happening.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, for sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gigi.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. Anna, we have run out of time. In fact, we're over time right now. We do have some other callers, however. I don't know how you feel about doing... I know you can't really do quick readings.
I'm on the website, and this video will continue to run, and there's sound there, so I just don't know if everybody in the chat room over there can hear it if they're listening. I don't mind doing a couple of more readings. Let's go. If you want, we can go for like another half hour.
Okay. Well, we have Jason, who is Sagittarian Mind, on your website.
Okay.
Hi, Jason.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Hi, Anna. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jason. Jason is also a Uranian astrologer.
Oh, wow.
Student.
Wow.
Jason, how does Uranian astrology compare to Western astrology for you?
Well, it's a lot more precise, just in terms of, it's a lot more precise. I would say that it takes a lot of the vagueness out of it. Because sometimes Western astrology can be very general in its interpretation, just from what I've seen. And as far as what people actually want,
from my experience,
they want the specifics.
Yeah, Jason didn't find out about Western astrology or Uranian astrology from me. He already knew about it, and he came to me knowing it. Jason, I forget where you live again.
I live in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Right, okay. I'm lucky I remember where I live. Okay, let's see. Jason, what do you want me to take a look at today?
Okay, well, I had a question, and I kind of got some of the things from the other charts that you were touching on. My question was about partnership, and what are the points that you look at in terms of looking at that dynamic, but I heard you mention sun, moon, sun, Mars, moon, Mars,
moon,
all
Venus,
those things.
Yeah, moon, Venus for love, Venus, Mars for the sex ties, Venus, Uranus for the attraction, or Venus, Vulcanus for the attraction. Mercury, look at the Mercury ties for the ability to effectively communicate, because I'll tell you what, no matter how good all that other stuff is, you better have some good Mercury ties.
Right.
But in a nutshell, you now have it. That's it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, that was really what, I'd been wondering, and then I heard all the other readings before this, and I kind of deduced that was, those things were really important. And I'm thinking in terms of the comparing the charts, the orbs are very tight. Is that maybe one degree?
Orb. We always use a tight orb. The only thing we give a little extra leeway to is we give a little bit of leeway toward the meridian. Wherever the meridian is, and sometimes, if it's maybe a degree, say 2 degrees, but everything else looks good with the moon, go ahead and factor it in, because 9 times out of 10, it's going to count, especially if there's a stellium. But, of course, you would ask about partnerships, because look at your chart. Everything in your whole life is built around partnerships and working around partnerships. And your astrological midpoints fall right to that, so you really want to do partnership counseling with astrology.
Right, right. And what I was going to ask, and I don't know if it's too general of a question, but what does that say about me, you know, in general, in terms of my orientation to partnerships? Does my chart, does it anything jump out specifically about me that says, maybe not this is what I need, but maybe the most effective avenue in terms of approaching it that saves me trouble, so to speak?
I'll tell you what it says. What it says about you is it says that you believe that you that people should not get into partnerships lightly. That you believe that partnerships,
right.
You've got Mercury, Neptune, you believe that there should be a spiritual connection in your partnerships. You believe that each person's words should be considered as sort of the authority or the subject. Like, you believe you're the subject matter on you, subject matter expert on you, and that your partner is the subject matter expert on them. You believe that their words have as much authority and power as yours do. You believe in attraction, and more than anything, your all over your chart is you believe in a profound spiritual connection. You believe that people are either rightfully meant and suited for each other or not, and that you need and want a powerful spiritual connection. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It absolutely makes sense. And, you know, really, I didn't need to take up too much of your time with that because, you know, that's pretty concise and very straight to the point. So, I mean, that's the answer to my question.
then say thank you to Corinne and hang up.
But that definitely resonated with me in answering my question. And in terms of my orientation as an astrologer in terms of dealing with couples, that really should be my should that be my focus, or should that be my philosophy in terms of dealing with the
couples? That's what's right for you. That's what's right for you. Sometimes you'll look at sometimes you're going to look at somebody's sun, moon, midpoint. Have you guys ever been around a couple that, like, all they do is argue, and you're like, why do they stay together? That's what they want. I tell this story a lot. I was years ago, I headed back to Gainesville, left Miami, and had to go back to Gainesville. And I was like, okay, before class, before anything, let me stop at Albertsons. I don't have any cream in the refrigerator, nothing. Let me stop at Albertsons and get a couple of things for breakfast, and then I'll do some shopping after class or whatever. So I get into Albertsons, and there's this one couple in Albertsons beside me at, like, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning. I arrive in Gainesville. Anyway, as we're going up and down all of the aisles in Albertsons, I can hear them. They're not in the same aisle as me, but I can hear them in the store. You know, he says, get some salt. She's like, you don't need no salt. And, I mean, they are arguing with each other up and down every aisle. I can hear them in this store. The entire time I was in the store, this couple, no matter what he said or she said, they argued with each other. And when I get to the register, I happen to end up behind them. And she says to him, you make me sick. And he says, wait. And he says, you ain't dead yet. I just want to point out, I will bet you these two people were soulmates.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This couple could clearly been together for like 30 years. That's what they like. That's what they think a relationship is. Sometimes that's people's experience. And sometimes their experience is there for other people to say, oh, God, I don't want a marriage like that. But some people want that. So you can't.
Okay. I can't project.
You look at somebody's sun, moon, and if you see, like, this is why you have partners who cheat on you, or this is why, if you see that, you can say to them, you know, you can turn this around. Here's the free will factor. You can raise the vibration. You don't have to have it that way.
Right.
Just remember, look at people's sun, moon, midpoints, and look and see what's important to people. For some people, you know, there could be a man who absolutely adores a woman and would take care of her and do everything for her, but he doesn't make enough money, and she doesn't care about anything but money. You know, for some guys, it's like they want a woman who's a great housekeeper and a mother, and they want her to want a career. Everybody wants different things. People are unique, and people come together in relationships to have experiences to help them grow and develop on spiritual levels. Okay?
Okay, got it.
Okay.
Got it.
Right. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it, as always.
Sure. Thank you, Jason.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Oh, he was a nice man.
Yeah. He found me, I can't remember what it said, like either on YouTube or Google search, and I read him. He calls in from time to time, and he never takes up a lot of time on the air. You know, he tries to really be considerate of other people. But he will ask, because one of the reasons I do this and I do the video is to help educate people. Great. I know how to do Uranian astrology. Bravo. Big freaking deal. What good is it if I can't teach other people how to do this?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is... It's not like other astrologers don't know about this, especially people that are the members of the NCGR. The NCGR, finally, like 15 years into me studying it, they got their own division. And the only division that they have that's separate from, you know, the traditional Western astrology group is they have a very specific Uranian astrology group. Because they realize, you know, if we don't, like, act like we know this, and if we don't start doing this, we're going to look like idiots.
Right.
Right.
Anna, I'm sorry. This echo is driving me nuts. I'm going to bring on the next caller because I can't talk without echoing. So we've got Tony, and I'm not sure if Tony has signed up or not. Hi, Tony.
Yes.
Hi.
Have you signed up on My Astro World?
Yes. I did.
And when did you sign up?
I'm actually on it right now.
Okay, I didn't ask you that. When did you sign up?
Today.
Okay, like say during the show, or just the show?
During the show.
Yeah, it was during the show, so I don't have your chart input.
I tried earlier, but I guess because I was doing it on my phone, it didn't allow me. I was waiting for the
assessment. You can log in after you're a member, but you can't sign up. It won't allow you to sign up. It's going to want to redirect.
I'm already a member.
Okay, we're having a real failure to understand each other. And what I'm telling you is that, yes, I know that it won't let you sign up on your cell phone. I'm aware of that, and I'm saying that for other people. It will not. It will allow you to log into it after you're a member on your cell phone, but it won't allow you to sign up. Got it? Okay. That's what I'm trying to tell you. So, okay. All right. I didn't have a chance to put your chart in because you signed up during the show, and I saw it, and I know that I accepted it. I didn't have a chance to input your chart, so you're going to have to give me a minute here to input this information. Okay?
That's fine.
Okay. You have this thing. I need you to go in there and take it out. You have this thing that you put into my website on your page under relationship status. And it's probably from your cell phone. When you get a chance, please go in there and delete that. All right? It's like amp, 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 amp. It's just like it's all clustered, and it looks terrible. And my usually I have co-hosts that help me. They'll be very confused by that. Okay? All right. So, but you didn't put in your time.
I don't know the exact time.
I can't do your reading on the air, honey.
Maybe it's because my mom says 7:45
what?
P.M. It's in the P.M.
Okay, and your mother says that you don't have it on a birth certificate?
No.
Well, I hope your mother was paying attention. You also didn't put in your, you put in like the town and you put in the state for where you live now. You put in the town for where you were born, but not necessarily the state. So we're going to forego the tree. Yeah, okay. No, we're going to forego the tree. Every indication is you need to go back there. You need to clean this up. You need to fill this out right. And I'm going to tell you, pay attention. Pay attention. Because this is how frenetic you were signing this up. You've got to be able to pay attention. You have to be able to pay attention to what people are saying to you, pay attention to what's out there. And it's important, like, that you do things right in life, not in some rushed way because I got to get this reading. Do you understand that? And I want to give you a reading. You're saying your mom says 7:45, but you didn't. Why didn't you put 7:45 on the site? Yeah, I want to read you. I want to read you, but I have this fear. Based on the way what I'm looking at right here, like this is a person who's not paying attention. You're in this big rush for something, and you're not paying attention. You're in a big rush, and you may want it. And I want to give you a really good reading. But if you're not giving me good information, and if you're not paying attention, that's not helpful. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give it a shot. But I'm not feeling great right now, okay? It's been my experience that when people don't pay attention to things, it's not a good indicator. Okay, do you have a TV on?
Yes.
Okay, I have no desire to read you. None. And I'm going to, let's just be a lesson to people. And you may think this is nasty. You're calling me. I'm going to give you a reading. You got your TV on. You don't put your time in. Honey, when you're serious about getting a reading, you call me back. And you,
oh, my daughter's watching TV.
You show and demonstrate the respect for this work that it deserves. Because somebody is giving you something for free, you shouldn't be so frivolous with it. And I want to give you a reading, but there is nothing in your behavior, how you filled out this, and you got the TV on. You don't want a reading. Go psychic shop somewhere else. When you're ready for a real reading, you come back and you see me, and I'm going to give you a real reading. And learn a lesson. Learn to respect what people offer you. Because there is nothing in your behavior that showed any kind of respect for what we're doing here tonight. And I won't allow you to do that. And I apologize to Corrine, but no, people need to learn. I'm giving you something. Corrine pays for the show. I pay for my website. You're watching TV. You don't bother to put the time in. You don't put the state in. Your page is all messed up. That's not right.
Right.
It's just not. It's simply not right. Okay? So when you're ready to get a reading and you want to take a reading seriously, you call back. And if you're offended, you know what? I don't really care. I don't care because you didn't care about my work tonight. How's it feel? End of story. I'm done with her. I'm done with her.
I don't mean to laugh, Anna, but whatever.
I know exactly why you're laughing. You're laughing because you're like, oh, my God, no truer words have been spoken. I can't believe that this woman is saying this on the air. She's telling her the truth. There are people who want readings and need readings, and they're not watching the TV, and they took the time today.
Mm-hmm.
They signed up before. They made sure that their time was in there. They made sure that their state and their town was in there. Okay? They didn't have the TV on in the background going on. This is a person who's all into herself. I'm not going to waste my time or my energy. You pay for your show. I pay for this website. It took me a lot to learn this. And if people are offended, too bad. Too bad, because I think that this is a life lesson.
Okay.
And I don't mean to offend people, but I'm not going to give, because I give freely and willingly, and this is important to me, and everybody who calls up is important to me, but if that's your behavior when you call up, then my reading isn't important to you. You're not important to me. I don't want to read you. How's that sound? How'd that work out for you?
I'm sorry, Anna. I'm sorry. Okay, so, well, there's Maddie. Do you have Maddie's information?
Sorry, is sitting here saying I'm rude. That's so rude. I'm not watching TV. My daughter is the one watching TV. Don't be in the room with your daughter.
Right.
And what about the fact that if you go look at her page, like, so hurriedly, she's got the town but not the state. Where we ask her where she lives and where she resides, she's got the state but not the town.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't put in the time. She signed up in the middle of the show. Let's get Maggie up. Let's not waste time talking about this. Tony thinks it's rude. I think it's even more rude to go and grab free readings from people. That's what I think is rude. Grabbing free readings from people and not taking time to value what they offer for free. I think that's rude. How's that, Tony?
Okay, so it's Maddie, M-A-D-D-I-E.
M-A-T-T-I-E. Hi.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
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 No, I don't think she has my information.
Why not? Are you a member?
No, I'm not. No. I just called in.
Oh. Okay.
For the first time.
Maddie, the thing is that you had to go to My Astro World and sign up there before getting a reading.
Okay. I didn't know. I just plugged in Blog Talk Radio and found it. I didn't have a clue. Okay.
Sorry about that, Maddie.
Okay. Could I continue to listen?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're done. We did an extra half hour. I think the show, I don't know when the show ended. I have no idea. But we did an extra half hour, so I think we're done, aren't we, Corrine?
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah.
Or did you want to... There's somebody else that wanted to get in that actually did sign up and waited.
Well, I have 661 here. Let's see who it is. 661. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hello. I just wanted to say how much I'm enjoying the show tonight. I signed up about an hour before the show, so no worries. I've really enjoyed listening to it.
I bet you I have your chart. What's your name, your first name?
My name is Andy.
I do have your chart. See, that's what you gotta do if you wanna get a reading. That's from Andy's book. And do you notice there's no TV? And I can tell you that, you know, Andy input her information. A-N-D-I, right?
That's it.
Yeah, see, I know. Yeah, I actually did your chart just before I went in. Okay. Andy, I got to ask you where you live again, because I don't save those. I just save your natal chart.
No problem.
No
I
problem.
Live in Overland Park, Kansas.
Okay. Got it. I'm not for anybody with a weak constitution. You know that, right?
You don't say.
Okay. But you don't have that problem, so we're good. So I'm going to tell you something about Andy.
No, I don't.
Yeah. Boy, is love important to you or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, you can't help yourself. You just love everybody out in the world. Look at this. Moon, Venus, which is love. Here's the Aries point that represents out in the world. This is a pollen. To love many powerfully. Volcanus is in there. To love many powerfully out in the world. And this is being triggered. And there's, like, Saturn over here. So you've been having some things that have been holding you back. Like, you were probably doing some work or volunteer work. And it entailed helping people. But something's happening with that right now. That makes sense to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Relax. Take a breath. It's okay. With this chart, I know you must be in a panic because you're like, love is everything. You have to get out there and love people and help people. And like, now you're feeling stagnant. Also, are you redecorating or planning a move? Or really, you didn't plan a move, but it may be coming on you. Is that what's going on?
I'm redecorating, absolutely.
Okay, so you're not planning a move. Redecorating is good. Worry about your redecorating right now. And formulate in your head your plan of action, okay? The thing that stopped, it just had to do with you needing, you know, people who love people in a powerful way, they sometimes can be drained by society. And sometimes you have to, you know, it's like you got to pull into the gas station. You can't just get in your car, pack up your car, and endlessly drive around the country without stopping at a gas station and putting some gas in the car. Right?
Very true.
Very true.
Okay. This is your time to get a service check, put some gas in the car, formulate your next move. And from looking at your chart, you're ready for, oh my God, you would have been like a great preacher. You're ready for that. You're just, in your head, you just don't see how you can do that. You want to preach God's love and Savior, and I'm not saying specifically from a religion. I'm saying that you believe you in giving people hope and understanding that God is there for them, and you would, I think God is everything to you. That's why you are so loving. Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So this is your time to figure out how you can move forward and probably begin something of like a ministry or a group. Do some studies of a variety of different religions and lives and lifestyles. I think that would be amazing for you. I didn't have your chart up. That's terrible. You know,
Thank you so much.
I look at your chart and you believe that even the worst case scenario can be transformed through love and hope. And through faith.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, and this is something you really want to share with people. You just haven't figured out how to do it. So this is a good time to, like, fuel up and figure out. I would recommend Centers for Positive Living.
Okay.
Okay. Read some Ernest Holmes. Study some metaphysics. See if there's a Centers for Positive Living around you. Become a certified prayer therapist. That doesn't take much, because whatever it is you do, you need to feel as though your actions are loving and in divine order. You have a really beautiful chart, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you.
Well, thank you for calling in. I just bitched somebody out. It's nice. This way people know, hey, you know what? She's not like that with everybody. She's an animal. You're a very loving person. You want to give people hope. You believe in God's love and healing power. You believe in you know, being in the right time and the right place and in divine providence. And you would, I mean, like, it's busting out of you. You would love to be talking about that. You just, in your head, you're like, what am I going to do? I'm not going to become a priest. There's a variety of different organizations. You can have little tea parties in your home that you're redecorating and invite people, not per se for Bible study, but for, like, you know, hours of enlightenment.
That sounds good.
I like the sound of that. It's very positive. Very positive.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, you have, it's your
chart. Thank you both so much.
Thank you for calling in. And thank you
Thanks for hanging on, Andy.
Yeah, thank you, Andy.
Have a good night.
Have a good night.
Hey, you
Susan.
Too.
Hey, you too.
Okie dokie. Are we done? What are we doing? We're done,
yeah,
right?
We're done.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, yeah. So I just want to say that you've been listening to Anna Sanchez, Uranian astrologer. And thanks, you guys, for listening tonight. Hopefully, when we come on next time with Anna, we will have things more in order with people signing up in time. But I will see you guys at the next show, and thanks for tuning in.
Living hell of another world.
Step out of the world you see.
You do not respond.
The Supernatural Radio Show. Open up your mind.
We programmed your brain.
The Supernatural Radio Show.
You must learn to obey.
Brought to you by PurplePlates.com for harmony, healing, and living energy products for a greater quality of life. The Supernatural Radio Show.
That was interesting.